Lord, Heavenly Father, we bow before you. Lord, we're gathered in this place in a very special way this morning. Lord, we know that this is an assembly of the saints this morning, Lord. We count it precious. We count it a privilege to be here, Father. We thank you for the beautiful day. We thank you for the birds that we heard this morning and the sunshine, the beautiful sunshine and the flowers and all of your creation, Lord. And as we look upon your creation, we see the diversity of everything, Lord, and all the beautiful things that you have created, and everything is so different. We know today that your people are all, we're all different in here today too, Lord. And we all have different needs. We have different different experiences, but we know that we are made one in Jesus Christ. So we thank you for that, and we praise your holy name this morning. I ask you this morning, Father, that you would pour out your grace, your power, Lord, upon Brother Jerry as he speaks with us, Lord. I don't understand, Lord, how you make beautiful things out of broken things, but Lord, I just know that your grace is sufficient in our weakness. It's made perfect in our weakness, Lord, and your strength becomes our strength, Lord, and may that be Jerry's experience this morning, Lord. I pray you'd speak through him, Lord. I pray that you'd give him the word that you want to give to the church here, Lord. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you that all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth this morning, Lord. And we ask you to help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I greet you all in that precious name of Jesus, that name that is above all other, and we heard and sung much about this morning. I was blessed with a song, if I can find it here. For Christ and the Church, that we sung. There's many songs this morning that blessed my heart. It says, for Christ and the Church, let our voices ring. Let us honor the name of our own blessed King. Let us work with a will in the strength of youth and loyally stand for the kingdom of truth. For Christ in the Church be our earnest prayer. Let us follow his banner, the cross daily bear. Let us yield, wholly yield, to the Spirit's power and faithfully serve him in life's brightest hour. For Christ in the Church, willing offerings make, time, talents, and gold for the dear Master's sake. We will render the best we can bring to him, the heart wealth of love that will never grow dim. For Christ in the Church, let us cast aside, by his conquering grace, chains of self, fear, and pride. May our lives be enriched by an aim so grand, then happy the call to the Savior's right hand. One day it's going to be worth it all. I want to thank everyone for all your prayers during this time, for all the encouraging visits in Texas and all that everyone has done. Brother Steve asked me if I would share an opening this morning, and by God's grace, I want to do so. I don't feel like I have things together. He called me the other day and Seems like we're so busy down there, and then I was traveling back and forth a couple of days. And so I'll just share what the Lord has given me here in a short notice. I basically just want to testify of the goodness of God and the faithfulness of our God. And the blessings that He has blessed us with in so many ways with this happening, with the death of our two daughters. I'll maybe just try to share in the beginning of how a few weeks before the accident, I was making some phone calls on reserving a tent for the meetings here. And one place I called, where the lady asked what we're using it for, and I told her it's for evangelistic meetings, gave her the dates, and she says, "Wow, 9 days." And she says, "I think I can give you a discount for that. I'm going to see if I can get you a discount for that." I added up, she gave us a 25% discount on this tent. It was much cheaper than anybody else. But it just triggered something in my heart when she said, "Wow, 9 days." I got thinking, yeah, 9 days, that's a long time. But I trust that God has a plan, and God has something for us. And I found myself praying and just asking God to prepare my heart for this time and to bring revival to us. I wasn't expecting what was coming in the next week. But God has been so faithful through it all and has been richly blessing us in so many ways. We truly serve a good and faithful God, and He allows things in our lives, I believe, with the goal of drawing us to Himself and causing us to have a single eye upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 29:11, says, "For I know the thoughts that I have, that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I'll begin here with the Monday before the accident. That day, the Lord spoke a verse to my heart, a part of a verse that I hadn't read in a while, but it was, He spoke it very emphatically to me. It's a verse in Isaiah 43. It says, "When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." And the Lord just spoke that verse to my heart in a way that it was just very emphatically spoken to my heart that, you know, He's not saying that when we get to the other side of that water, or when we walk through that flame, that He'll be on the other side to help us. But He says, the waters are not going to overflow you, and the flames will not touch you, because He's going to be there to carry us. He's going to be there by our side. He's not going to be just on the other side, but He's going to be there to take us through. He's going to be with us through it. And that evening, we went to Parkview to visit Lester and Rachel May. And I shared that verse come to me there again, and I shared it there that evening. Brother James Brandenburger was there that night, and we talked about it. I never It never dawned on me of what the Lord was trying to do in my heart. But the evening of the accident, just so gently the Lord brought that verse back to my heart. He spoke it to my mind just so clearly. And it just, it brought a calm, settled peace over me. The next morning, or the next day, a brother from Ohio texted me those verses. I thought, well, thank you, Lord. You don't want me to forget. I think it was the following evening, or sometime during the night, Brother Sally was down in Indianapolis with our daughter Sarah. And he was coming back from there, and he sent me a text, and we had a room at the Ronald McDonald House up here at Parkview, and he told me that it was a long text saying that over at the Ronald McDonald House, behind the coffee bar on the right-hand end of the computer countertop, underneath, there's something for you. And Brother Lester had come from Kentucky down to Indianapolis as well, and he stayed there when Sally come home, and so I was thinking, they had a Ronald McDonald room down there, and I thought, well, maybe that was for Lester. So I texted him and says, is that for me or Les? And he says, no, that was for you. So that morning early, my wife and I walked over there, and we walked in the kitchen part, and we found the coffee bar, and I said, there's the computer desk. Well, it must be right there. There's the right hand in. I'm reaching underneath here, feeling for something underneath the countertop, and there's a lady from the Ronald McDonald House sitting there at a table behind us, and she says, can I help you? I said, well, there's supposed to be, I got a text saying there's something underneath here for me. She goes, oh, a treasure hunt. And by that time, I was down on my hands and knees looking underneath there. And I don't know how long ago they did the work there. They put the countertops and things in. through the shop, they did the work and did a lot of work in there, I guess. And but Sally remembered. I think he, the day they went to put those countertops in, he felt inspired to print off a verse and stick it underneath there. And would you know, it was Isaiah 43. I had to take a picture of my phone. It truly was a treasure. God was wanting to be sure that I got the message. So he's very faithful. And at that time, Sally had no idea that the Lord had spoken that verse to my heart, and he didn't know anything about it, I don't think. And going on, just sharing here of how faithful God is even when we're not. And the day of the accident, we call it an accident. I want to call it an incident. It's not an accident. I'll try to make it as brief as I can. My wife was trying to call Lori, and they couldn't get a hold of her. And the accident had already happened. That's why they couldn't get a hold of her. Finally, they called Delmer, because that's where she had taken lunch, to ask if she was there. And he said, no, she left about 20 minutes ago. But he said he had an alert on his phone that there was an accident at Camp Bell and 101. So Linda says, Linda was at our house, and she says, well, I'm going up there, Mom. And she headed up there. I had just left home 7-8 minutes before that, didn't know anything about this. And my wife tried to call me and couldn't get a hold of me, and I called her right back. She asked if I heard anything. She thinks Lori was in an accident. And she said, yes, there's a cop driving in right now to tell me. And so I hung up the phone, and she talked to the officer, and I called her right back. She said, I'm supposed to meet him at the hospital. So I knew that it was pretty serious because the officer didn't relate any information. And I was only a mile from the hospital. I headed over there. as I was walking in the... At that point yet, I just was under the impression that it was Lori that had taken lunch to Delmer, and never crossed my mind that the rest of them were all with, which if I would have thought for a moment, I would have knew they was, because they always all went together. And as I was walking through those double doors, my daughter Linda called me. She was up by the accident scene, and I could tell she was pretty upset. I couldn't make out sure what all she was saying, but she said, "Dad, I can see the van, and I don't see," she says, "I don't see how it'd be possible for any of them to come out of it alive." I said, "Any of them?" And she says, "Yeah, Dad, they were." I understood her to say they were all with, but they were all with but Kayla. Kayla didn't go with that day, of all days. We see that as the hand of God. And I, standing between those doors, just testifying here of the faithfulness of God in bringing things to our mind. Because I kind of went numb, and my throat got dry, and I couldn't even swallow. But I just remember saying these words out loud. My mind went to Job when I heard they were all with. My mind flashed to Job, and I remember saying these words out loud. I said, "Though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. The good Lord giveth, and the good Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that was only God that put that in my heart and mind. That was only God that brought that, because I wasn't pondering on any of those things. But it did something to my heart in preparing me. There was a peace just come over me, and I don't remember walking back out to my truck, but the next thing I remember, I was standing out in the parking lot by my truck again, and a brother called me. There had been a mix-up. He had heard that his brother Jason, he had heard his mother-in-law was in the accident, and he wondered if she was with Lori. I said, "I don't know anything, Jason. I don't know. All I know is I just found out that all my children were with." And he said he had just got a text that there was two dead and two critical. And I marvel at how, not knowing anything prior to that, but how the Lord just prepared me with those words he brought to my mind, those verses, the words of Job, that it didn't even shock me when he shared that with me. It was just the calmness in my heart. And yes, I would say probably two of those are ours. And I didn't know a semi was involved. I didn't know anything else at that point. But there was just a peace in my heart. So I went on in and found my wife in a room with the lady officer and the chaplain, hospital chaplain. It was a small room, and the hospital chaplain was sitting there on the other side of the room, and he was just trembling. His lips were quivering, and his hands were shaking, and he couldn't talk. And I thought, well, what's wrong with that guy? It didn't dawn on me of what he was trembling about, because he didn't know that I already knew. And I could see that my wife was at peace, and the grace of God was sustaining her. And I said, "Well, hon, I believe that two of ours went to be with Jesus." And then they told us that, I'm not sure if it was the lady officer or the chaplain, told us that, I asked if they know anything else, and they said, "Yeah, they understand there's two of them here. They brought two in unresponsive." And that's all we knew. Well, it was 3 hours later before we got to go in and see for sure who we had with us. They gave us an idea that one was an adult and one approximately 8 years old, but Lori and Lisa were close in size, and so was Lydia and Sarah. But it was... I said 3 hours later before we got to go in to see who we had with us and who we didn't. But the chaplain really, he never could really speak. He was just sat there and trembled for the most part. So I don't know what was going through his heart. But going on. What I'm going to share, what I'm sharing here, I've shared with some of you already. So I ask you to have grace with me, as there's many here maybe that haven't heard. And I may sound like I'm repeating to you, but just ask you to have grace with me. I don't want to glory in any experience, because it's the continual day by day abiding in Christ is what's really going to matter, and that's what's going to get us there. But I also don't want to be like 9 of the 10 lepers that didn't come back and give thanks. when they were healed and they didn't return and thank Jesus, only one did. And I think of, you know, through this, I remember those first couple nights I was just saying, Lord, can I just go too? Can I go with you? But I was reminded of the words that Jesus spoke to the man that he delivered of the demons. The man just wanted to go be with Jesus. He said, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no. He says, you go back and tell the people what great things God has done for you. So that's what I want to testify this morning, of the faithfulness of God through this time, and the great things he has done for us. And when I think of what great love the Father has toward us, it causes a reverence to well up in my heart. As I read 1 John 3, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And I want to read it in the Amplified here. It really was very clear to me. It says, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given and shown and bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know and recognize and acknowledge us is that it does not know and recognize and acknowledge him. And I believe when we see that he has permitted us by his love, by his great love, to be called his children, it should cause a reverence to well up in our hearts and a willingness to allow him to glorify himself in whatever way he sees is best for us and for his kingdom. And we know that we've received the spirit of adoption, and we have him as our daddy, and we can be assured that if he's our daddy, we can be assured that he has what's best for us in mind, and he's going to give us the grace that we need to walk through whatever he allows in our path. Romans 8:15, he says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I have the next verse, next two verses in the Amplified. It says, and if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. And I think we often want to stop right there. But it says only, we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. But I like the next verse. It says, but what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. I marvel at Paul. He had such an amazing perspective on things there. He warns us that throughout this life we'll face hardships and fiery trials as God's children. But throughout it all, he encourages us that this suffering does not compare to the glory that has been revealed in us and will yet be revealed to us as God's children. And as God chooses to glorify himself in our trials, whether it's how we are how we deal with a smashed finger in the midst of unbelievers, or having two of our children taken from us, in light of the glory of God, in light of His great glory. They're both just little glimpses that people get to see of the glory of God. And we tend to measure with our eyes and think, well, He gets more glory there than He did here. But, you know, if we are victorious in walking through whatever fiery trial He puts before us, it's only because of Jesus. And it allows Him to glorify Himself. And it's His glory. And it's poured out without measure. Corinthians says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, it's the things down here that we can touch and taste that weigh us down and cause us to become complacent. But I marvel at how death has a way of putting things in perspective. It helps us to see the true temporariness of everything that is down here on earth. But I also marvel at how soon we forget. And when I make the trip home from Indy a few times this past week, I haven't been able to get away until this past week with Sarah there and her therapy, but I use the time sometimes on I'm on the phone trying to deal with things at work and trying to keep things going. Life needs to go on. And whatever it may be. And it's easy to start getting weighted down with those things, and our focus is on those things. But as I'm driving down 69 and I get a little closer to home, my thoughts go there every time, and I start thinking of Lisa and Lydia. And it brings tears to my eyes, knowing that they're not going to come out and meet me when I get there. When I get home, I'm not going to see them coming down the sidewalk. And it brings a reality that causes my mind to go heavenward. And God is faithful when I choose to thank Him for taking them safely home. My heart is lifted up and His grace is there. His grace truly is sufficient. And if I want to see them someday, we're called to abide in Christ. Because the flesh wants to feel sorry for itself. And we go down that path, we become very discouraged versus encouraged. We become depressed. We're not looking to Jesus as we should. I couldn't help but this morning when I come here, and I stepped in His tent and I look across, and as I look across the room, I see many of your daughters, and it just makes it very fresh that mine are not here. But I know they're in a better place. I know they wouldn't want us to be grieving over them when they're enjoying the glories of heaven. I love the promise in John 15, verse 4, we read the other morning. There's a few verses there, but I'm just going to read the one. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." And I read it in the Amplified, and it says, saying the same thing in the King James, but it didn't catch me as strong. He says, "Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you." It's a promise. He says, "Live in me, and I will live in you." Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. And that's a promise. That's a promise from the mouth of Jesus. He says, if you abide in me, you turn to me, I will abide in you. I will live in you. And we know that he cannot lie. So it doesn't get be the promise can't get any surer than that. Going on here, I want to take time away. The evening of the funeral, there's a lot could be shared in between there, but I'm just going to go on. The evening of the funeral, when my wife and I went to Indy with Sarah that evening, and we met a dear brother and sister, Mark and Brandy, who spent the day there with Sarah. And we went on back to the room, to her room, and we met the resident doctor come in. It's the doctor on the floor there. And we asked her some pretty blunt questions. And she gave us some pretty blunt answers, telling us of the new, of what had been related to her from the new MRI that they had just taken. She hadn't read it herself. It was the neurologist that read it, but she was just relating things from other doctors to us. She said that the last MRI they had taken showed that Sarah had multiple strokes since the accident, and that there had been damage to both sides of the brain. And the strokes were from the ruptured aorta that she had. Particles of that lining had been gone up to the brain and getting lodged. We, when we heard those things combined with just coming from burying two daughters earlier that day, it seemed like the hardest blow that we had felt yet. It felt like the bottom just dropped out. And we found ourselves just feeling very weak and helpless, just utterly helpless, very insufficient of ourselves. And we just began crying out to the Lord, not having words worthy to pray, not finding words, but just crying out. And we come to the point of just surrendering Sarah to the Lord. I remember telling the Lord, if you see it best to take her to be with Lisa and Lydia, we give you that right. But if you choose to completely heal her, we know there's nothing too hard for you. And we also told him that if he chooses to leave her here for us to care for in a special way, that we know that he'll give us the grace to do that as well. But we just found ourselves telling the Lord to whatever way he can glorify himself the most, we surrender to that. We never felt so helpless and insufficient of ourselves, seeing that the situation was totally out of our control. We had no control of anything. But yet, we never experienced the grace and peace of God to that degree before. The Lord just flooded our hearts with peace. By His grace, He just lifted us up, and we were just assured that everything's going to be okay because our daddy's in control. And was reminded of the scriptures in Romans 8:25. He says, but if we, or 8:27 or 26 actually, if I read 25, but if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. No, we couldn't find right words to pray. We just felt very helpless and weak, realizing we had no control of the situation. But we were just crying out. It says that the Spirit makes intercession for our groanings. And he is faithful. And the Lord, what the Lord profoundly spoke to me through that, just spoke to my heart. I see that I'm a very hard learner. I tend to rely on the arm of flesh a little too much. And it just seemed that the Lord was so clearly speaking to my heart, saying, you know, this is what I've been trying to show you for years. You know, isn't it that frame of heart and mind that he wants us to have in everyday life? When things are going well, you know, when the crops are growing well, business is booming, things are looking up, we are still as helpless and insufficient of ourselves. Even then, we have no control. We have no control. And to come to the Lord in that way, in everyday life, knowing that, you know, when I get up in the morning and put my shoes on and things are looking promising for the day, I have no more control of that situation than we did that night back in that room when we got the news there of Sarah. But, you know, we don't see our need. When things are going well, there seems to be that hindrance that we don't see our need. And we don't we don't trust Him as we should, speaking for myself. And, you know, we all have our fiery trials that we have to go through. And from our eyes, we measure them as great or small. But it takes the same grace of God for both. You know, I don't believe it was God's heart that I had to come to that point before I seen that. Before I seen that I was helpless and very insufficient and that these things are out of my control. He truly wants us to see that by faith when things are going well in everyday life. And you know, as I said, it takes the same grace of God to go through whether we call it a large trial or a small trial. And we all have our fiery trials that we go through and will go through. But it's I don't think it's any harder for God for Him to give us grace to endure that smashed finger as it is to give grace to someone that just lost their whole family in a car crash. Because we measure the situations, but to God, He is so far above what we see with our eyes that it takes the same grace of God in both situations. I just want to encourage us all that He wants to give us that grace in the small thing, what we call the small things in life, as well as the big things. And that He may receive glory and honor in every situation. I think sometimes it's because we just simply don't ask that we don't receive. But when we surrender our situations to Him, whether we see them as great or small, He'll give us the strength and the grace that we need to go through it. I want to try and bring it to a close here. There's a lot more that I could have shared through it all. Just God's faithfulness in bringing His Word to us and reading His Word and speaking to us through that from day to day and encouraging our hearts. But one thing I want to say yet is I can't thank God enough for the wife that He has given me. That loves me even when I'm unlovable. And has been standing very strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful that the Lord has made us one. As we walk through this time as a family. I was so blessed and encouraged. As I think of the morning, I think it was the morning after the accident. We were sleeping in the lobby and I got up and I seen a couple of papers there on the table. They were full of writings. Just little papers, but there was just line after line. And it was, they were songs and verses and things that the Lord had been bringing to my wife throughout the night that she wrote them down. She found it very encouraging. God was just faithful in just bringing a song or a word. She wrote them down. And it really encouraged me to see God's faithfulness again. Psalms, it says, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. Our God truly is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I also want to testify, yet, as I've told many of you, I have a newfound appreciation for the body of Christ. I wouldn't want to go through this. We wouldn't want to go through this without the body of Christ. The Bible talks about us being many are one in the body of Christ, and every one members one of another. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12:26, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. And that's the Bible this morning, brothers and sisters. That's the Word of God. Many of you have told me that you can't imagine what we're going through. You can't feel what we're going through. And I understand that we may feel a greater degree of the pain. But my wife and I can truly testify that we don't feel like we've taken the full brunt of the blow. Because the Word of God is true. God designed the body in that way. When one member suffers, they all suffer. And we can feel your prayers, your concern, your love. It's been very encouraging to us. I know, just as if I were to injure my knee, you know, the pain would be there in my knee. But the rest of the body would do all it can. It takes the load off of that pain, and it suffers through it. And I said I wouldn't, as I told the brothers here the evening of the funeral, everything that was done for us, all the hard work, said, I wouldn't want to be an individualist and have to go through this. And one brother says, well, he says, even if you were an individualist, these brothers do the same thing for you. And I believe that. I believe you would. But we would miss out on a blessing. We would miss out on the blessing. We wouldn't feel the liberty. We wouldn't feel the liberty at heart to, by faith, allow that load to be distributed upon the body of Christ. God has been so good to us during this time. It's been one miracle after another with Sarah, as well as the fact that we have Lori with us here is a miracle as well. And as we trust God that He has a plan and a purpose, and it's for our good. I think of Romans 8:28, where it says that all things work together for the good. I used to look at that verse more as for the individual, and I believe that it is in a situation. But I think it's more for the bigger picture that maybe we don't see. I like to think of it as all things work together for the good of His kingdom. All things work together for the good of God's kingdom, as well as for the individual. And, you know, to draw people to Himself. In some of the pictures that we have of the van, I've never seen the van. My son took pictures of it at the wrecker yard. We had gotten a pack of literature from the mail here, I think it was, and I'm not even sure where it was from. It was, I think, missionary literature or mission literature. And that pack was still in the van. And it was tore open, and those things were laying wide in the van. And the one picture, big bold letters in the top of this paper, of all those papers, it said, God opens doors. And truly He has for us in so many ways. With my side of the family, I think of my brothers and sister, my mother. I marvel at how God opened the door that they were able to be here at the funeral and sat under the sound teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know what else I would have been able to do. I couldn't have done nothing to bring that about, but God's able. We've been praying for them, and God truly does answer our prayers, but not always in the way we think. But nevertheless, He is able to glorify Himself, and He is faithful to see us through. And we've had many situations in at the hospital that we see God opening doors, that He's opened one door after another, and sharing with people. I was blessed with one of the texts that someone sent to us. It's actually one of my wife's sisters. It's a text I think is a good example of God's faithfulness. I thought it was a little humorous, but it's very, very true. It says, when God pushes you to the edge of difficulty, trust Him. Because two things can happen. Either He'll catch you when you fall, or He'll teach you how to fly. And that is our God. It says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Again, I just want to thank you all for praying. God hears the cries of the saints. I think it was maybe the first evening of the viewing I told my wife that we need to encourage the brothers and sisters to keep praying. Because my mind went to Scripture in Revelations, where it talks about those golden golden vials that are full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And I said, I can feel that God's pouring them out. We could feel that God was pouring this out upon us. His grace was sustaining us. I just want to thank everyone for all the labor of love that was put into us over the funeral. And all that has been done for us since with meals to us and our family at home and many other things. We can't begin to thank everyone for everything enough. But one thing that we want to strive to do is walk with a single eye upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the thanks that the Lord wants from us all. I want to close with a few verses here in Ephesians 3. It says, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, and abide. Make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power to be strong, to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? That you may really come to know, practically through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. May have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him, who by, in the consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers and desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. So I want to just leave you with that and encourage you all to press on. One day, as we continue to walk in faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be faithful to us. And one day, it'll be worth it all. I don't have, as I think of the past 4 weeks, I don't have a remedy or a recipe or steps to take of how you walk through a situation. But all we can say is, but God. God is faithful. There's a song that's, I think they passed the papers out, that's been very precious to us at the hospital. I'd like to sing it if we could. It says, all the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell, for I know, whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, all the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. When we get there, that's all it's going to be, is Jesus led me all the way. It's not going to be that I was a good person, or whatever it may be, that I did a lot of good, I helped a lot of people. No, there won't be anything else. But if we get there, it's only going to be because Jesus led us all the way. It's only going to be by a complete trust and reliance upon Him in all of life. And when I think of the accident, I think of how things could have been so much worse, you know, had there been a couple in there that were not prepared to go. That would have been a real tragedy. But I know that Lydia was still a child in her innocent age. And I know that Lisa was walking with the Lord. She'd given her heart to Him. And we were seeing lots of fruit from her lives in a way that challenged many of his in the home with her heart attitude. We called her the peacemaker. That's what we remember her as. She didn't like things that caused strife. Don't remember her being upset. That morning, the day before the accident, one of my sons, someone gave him a CD, a new CD, and most all the songs on that CD are about going home to be with Jesus. That morning, Lisa had put it in the CD player at home, and they were listening to a song. She was telling my wife, and my wife's one song they were listening to. My wife says, "I like this song." She says, "Yeah, I like this one, but I also like, I think it was number 11. The one they were listening to was, I don't have the words, but it was about going home to be with Jesus, about blooming in the Master's garden. And some of the first words was, "Don't grieve o'er me as I go." And the other song, as she said she liked, was about, it began with talking about how when I am weak, He is strong. And it says, from this day on, speaking of going home to be with Jesus, says, from this day on, I will take your hand and grow in love with you. We're thankful for those precious memories. There's many other things that I could share. One thing I do want to share, yet today, being Father's Day, reminds me, I have a very, very special card my daughter Sarah made for me last night before we left. I marvel at the healing that God has done in her that brought her back to the state that she's in at this point, and He's still continuing to heal her. So I want to thank you all for your prayers and just encourage you all to press on toward the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, because there ain't nothing in this life worth fighting and striving over that would hinder us from entering in the straight and narrow gate. So I encourage everyone, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, today is the day. We don't know if we leave here today, if you get hit on the road. You know, we had no idea that morning. That morning started out just like any other morning. But it could very well be that it's someone that's not prepared, and that would truly be a tragedy. So I encourage you to give your heart to the Lord today. God bless you all.